summer wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Time for Abandoned Manitoba now, and a few weeks back we discussed buildings in limbo around Winnipeg, and listeners suggested several such buildings outside of Winnipeg. And Gordon, you talked about one of them last week and said that this week the building would have something to do with medicine. What did you mean by that, Gordon Goldsborough?
Well, good morning, Nadja. I meant that if you were driving along Highway 26 west from Winnipeg, you would pass through the village of St. Francis Xavier, and there you would probably notice a quite attractive but a somewhat disheveled-looking log building on the south side of the highway overlooking the Assiniboine River, and this is the former Medicine Rock Cafe, once a upscale restaurant.
What can you tell us about it?
Well, the spot is actually quite historic. It's believed to be the administrative headquarters site for the Métis leader Cuthbert Grant. And in fact, he was there in the early 1800s. So in fact, when this building was being constructed, they had to excavate for the foundation. And they found actually pieces of pottery and other artifacts. And so they actually, for a while, had to halt the construction while archaeologists came in and just did a quick investigation to see if there were any sort of important historical artifacts that were present on the site. Well, anyway, once they completed it, they built basically a 3,000 square foot building made of old growth cedar logs from British Columbia.
Why was it called Medicine Rock Cafe?
Well, I spoke to the person who built it, actually, and I asked that very question. And she said the reason was she had been traveling in the United States and had seen a sign for a place called the Medicine Rock Cafe. And she thought to herself, that's a really good name for a restaurant. So she filed it away. And back in the late 1980s, she had an opportunity. She thought she might like to build a restaurant. She thought, hey, there's the idea. So, okay, let's take the name then, Medicine Rock Cafe. The rock part of it is if you've been to the restaurant or if you've been by the restaurant, you'll know there's a massive boulder in the parking lot of the restaurant. And that wasn't there originally. It was actually brought from a site some miles away. She had seen this big boulder and she thought, well, that would be kind of a nice sort of feature in the front of the restaurant. She talked to a number of movers and none of them would touch it. It was just too big. So in the end, she found some local farmers that moved it. And in fact, in the process of moving, it was so big it bent their trailer. So, yeah, that's the rock part of the name. The medicine part, well, Cuthbert Grant, who, say, had one time his headquarters there, he was educated, we think, in Scotland. And apparently part of his education there was in medicine. So when he came back to Canada from his time in Scotland, he actually brought apparently a medicine chest, a little wooden box that had various medicines in little jars. And in fact, it's present here today. The Cuthbert Grant medicine chest is still here in Manitoba. And a few years ago, it was sent to Alberta to be duplicated. So there would be a replica. And this entrepreneur who was building the restaurant thought, well, that'd be a kind of a cool thing to have in my restaurant. So she got them to make a copy for her as well. And she found some nice little glass jars to put in it. She sort of weathered it to make it look old. And so inside the Medicine Rock Cafe, there was this medicine chest allegedly belonging to Cuthbert Grant, although it was simply it was a copy. So there's the name. That's why it was called that.
I love the effort she's gone to create this kind of vibe of authenticity in this restaurant.
Yeah, well, they described the decor as cozy cluttered, which I love. I've been to the restaurant, so I know what they were describing. It was very kitschy and had all these little artifacts, and it seemed almost like a little antique shop in a way.
Well, what type of restaurant was it?
Well, judging from the restaurant reviews that I found for it, from my own experience, I ate there twice. I would say that it was a fairly broad restaurant. It didn't have any particular genre in which it featured food. You know, it had a standard breakfast menu. It had a Sunday brunch. You know, it had lunch items like burgers and pizza and sandwiches, dinners that had beef, fish, vegetarian. Occasionally, I noticed that it had things like bison and ostrich, you know, a little more exotic. But it was really just sort of a main basic restaurant. It did, have, by the way, have a licensed lounge as well that went by a couple of names over the years. It was called either the Buffalo Wallow or later, after the White Horse. That, of course, this area is called the White Horse Plains. It was called the Ghost Horse Saloon.
So what happened to it?
Well, people probably have heard the real estate mantra, location, location, location. Everything depends on location. And I suspect that this building fell prey to that rule. You know, the fact is that it's just a little bit outside of Winnipeg. And, you know, Winnipeggers are legendary for not wanting to venture too far beyond the perimeter highway. So I think they had difficulty with that. Well, you know, the first proprietor, for example, sold it within a year of opening, and the second one operated it for about a dozen years. And throughout that time, I found through the newspapers numerous ads in the newspaper where they were trying to find staff. Because, of course, the difficulty wasn't just in getting customers to come to the restaurant a little outside the city. It was also to find trained, you know, restaurant staff, servers and chefs and so on, who were willing to venture out that far. So they were constantly trying to find staff to come out there. And I, that was probably as much as anything what doomed the restaurant. So it closed in mid-2005. It reopened briefly, as far as I can tell, in the later part of 2007, and then closed again. So it's been closed now for about 11 years.
Recently, wasn't there a plan to convert it into condos?
Yes. In fact, a very controversial move. The second owner decided, well, if I sell the restaurant building, and they did, in fact, sell the building itself to a family that owned several other buildings in St. Francis Xavier. And the plan was then they were going to have this site now, which was quite an attractive one. It overlooks this nice little river, Oxbow, quite historically significant. They announced plans they were going to build a 60-unit condo development on the site, sort of a multi-level, and the locals just went crazy over that. Of course, they felt that it was going to compromise the sort of the rural feel of the community. Lots of opposition, and I think in the face of that, the proposal was withdrawn.
And I think that there were petitions being signed in protest and everything, right?
Yeah, it was quite adamant that they did not want that to happen. So, say, the building was then sold to a third owner. And it's been sitting, I say, ever since. And I'm told, in fact, inside, most of the original contents are still there. The tables, the chairs, the menus even of the restaurant apparently are still inside. But I've spoke to the original proprietor not long ago, and I learned that the third owner, because they had defaulted on a condition of the sale, which was that they had to move the building off the site, I suppose, so as to make it available for condo development, because they hadn't fulfilled that condition, the second owner then had taken them to court and had regained ownership of the building. So what that's going to mean, you know, the whole theme of this particular episode, of course, is buildings in limbo. Well, I think this is a classic example, because a friend of mine went by not long ago and said she saw some evidence of something going on, like there was maybe some carpentry work being done or something. So who knows? It's, you know, it's really an attractive building. It's in a beautiful location, you know, could be repurposed in some way. So we'll wait and see, I guess.
Gordon, thank you so much for this. What's happening next week?
Well, I think in celebration of the new year, I'm going to hold a contest.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I'm going to ask a question, and the first listener with the correct answer to leave me either a phone message or an email address will receive a copy of my new book, More Abandoned Manitoba. They can send me a phone message to the number 204-474-7469. Or they can send me an email message to Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca.
Okay.
So the first person with the right answer to this question. So Manitoba has a lot of hydroelectric generating stations. Which ones have names beginning with the letter K? Of course, there's one presently under construction right now, but I'll give you a hint. The number of them is not three. And therein lies the story we'll talk about next week.
Okay, say that question one more time, because I'm sure our listeners are desperate to get their hands on one of your books.
Well, there are hydroelectric generating stations around Manitoba, and some of them have names beginning with the letter K, including one that's presently under construction. Name them all, and I mean all, and say the hint is that the number of them is not three.
And I will give your number and email out in a second. But Gordon, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nadja.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.